Thank you, Jerry, and welcome back, everyone, to today's edition of The Morning Magazine on AM 1320, as well as on the web at WFHR.com. It's time for another Encourage Community Foundation update. Your community foundation is located at 478 East Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids, right across the street from Hotel Mead. And their phone line is 715-423-3863. And a website we want you to, if you're not already familiar with, we want you to get acquainted with is tribunebuilding.org, because today Chelsea Mazurek is here in the studio from Encourage, and on the phone is Graham Hill, Senior Project Manager from Concordia. We are doing an update on the Tribune Building project today on the Morning Magazine. So with that, I say to all both of you, good morning.
Good morning, Carl.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Okay. So we're going to be talking about, this project just keeps moving right along, and we pretty much know what the vision is. Mm-hmm. So I guess, Chelsea, since you arranged for our discussion this morning, kind of give us a brief outline where you want to go this morning.
Great. So thank you for having us. Really appreciate it. What we were hoping to discuss today is sustainability and the sustainable features that are going to be going into the Tribune Building project. So throughout this entire process, we've had residents engaged in the process of deciding what the Tribune Building, what would go into the Tribune Building, as well as what it would look and feel like. As part of our design phase, we held a meeting focused solely on sustainability, brought in a speaker, renowned speaker Sandy Wiggins, to come and educate the community on sustainability, and we heard loud and clear from the residents that they wanted this building to be as sustainable as possible and really be a model for the community when it comes to environmental sustainability.
Okay, I guess that's a term that has a lot of different meanings. Graham, as the senior project manager for Concordia, what do you define as sustainability?
Well, it's a great question, and sustainability goes very far beyond just a building that is saving energy, but it's also a building that is producing long-term value and benefits to the owners of the building, to the tenants and occupants and users of the building, and then also to the larger community and the neighborhood surrounding the building. So it's really looking at the overall long-term impact of not only a facility and its surrounding site, but also the impact on the day-to-day lives of the people who are interacting with that building.
Okay, so we're talking about the long life of a building and the long-term impact it's going to have on an area, and we want a project that's going to be here. We don't want this thing to be something that's built and then fizzles out like a nice fireworks shell. We want something that's going to be here for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I would say, you know, Encourage, one of the things that sets us apart as a community foundation is this ability to take a long-term view. So while sustainable features do cost more up front, actually the long-term benefit will save us money in the long run. So we're looking at this as not a building that will be here for 5 years or even 10 years. We're looking way down the path as something that will be a staple in our community for a long time to come.
So how are you doing that with this project? How are you doing? What are some of the features that are sustainable?
Graham, I'll let you go ahead and take that.
Yeah, I can jump in here. So this project is actually an amalgam of several sustainable features that are on the cutting edge of architecture and design. And I can just walk through several of them right now without belaboring each individual one. But one of the primary features that we're going to be incorporating into the project is a geothermal heating and cooling system. And basically what that is using the Earth's constant temperature. So if you go down below the frost line there, the temperature in the Earth stays about the same all year long. And so we're actually going to be using that constant temperature in the Earth to either heat up or cool down refrigerant lines that typically sit on top of a building inside of a fan coil unit. But by drilling down into the earth and running essentially a bunch of pipes up and down at depths up to 400 feet below the ground, we're essentially using the earth's constant temperature to provide a balance for heating and cooling for the building, so that ultimately the the fans inside the building, the HVAC system has to work a lot less hard and has to consume a lot less energy in order to provide optimal temperature for the people inside the building. So that's one main feature, is the geothermal heating and cooling. Another primary feature we're incorporating is solar photovoltaics, or solar PV. And a lot of people know these as solar panels, and you see them on buildings all over the place now. And the cost not only of the production of these panels, but also of the installation has dropped significantly in the past 5 to 10 years, because there are just so many more competitors in the market doing these now, and American companies building them as well. And so we're going to be harvesting energy from the sun to generate electricity in the project. So we're actually looking at a system right now that's somewhere between 25 and 50 kilowatts, which is enough to power a couple residential homes. But it will actually be offsetting the energy demands of the project and saving money, and then also, of course, saving energy in terms of the demand on burning fossil fuels in order to create electricity. Another main sustainable feature that we're employing in the project is the use of passive solar design. And so we're actually designing the building so that we're maximizing the energy from the sun, and also using shading devices to minimize the heat gain inside the building. So this is something that, you know, passive solar design, it is what it sounds like. It's essentially using natural principles and using the sun's path, the sun's movement, to help optimize the temperature inside the building and reduce the overall impact on the heating and cooling systems. Another main feature of this project is we're also going to be capturing stormwater and treating stormwater on the site through the landscaping around the building. And thereby, we're actually going to be minimizing the impact on the city's stormwater infrastructure. So our goal in the project right now is to be able to treat almost all of the stormwater that falls on the site, on the parking lots, on all of the paved surfaces, and as well as the building's roof. All of that stormwater is going to be treated and infiltrated back into the soil in order to minimize the impact on the city's stormwater infrastructure and also to minimize the discharge into the river. And so overall, that's going to impact the health of the river itself, the river ecosystem, and it's also going to help promote biodiversity and plant life on the site in the Tribune Building. So those are three of the main features that we're incorporating. There are a bunch of other small elements that, you know, would take a long time to go through, but that should give you a pretty good overview.
And that gives me a question I'm going to ask Chelsea here, and because she's quite aware of the program over at Mid-State Technical College, mm-hmm. and they have their renewable energy program, which includes teaching kids about solar and it's a very active program. Mm-hmm. Could this become like a living lab for these students? You know, we're trying to get the community involved. Holy buckets, this could be a great teaching tool for Mid-State Technical College as well. Has anyone thought about that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're very aware, and actually they have been in touch with us utilizing the Tribune Building as one of their potential projects that they've been working on this, I think it was the past semester, thinking about how to incorporate sustainability from what they had learned. But what we're seeing now is not only can it be a lab for sustainability for Mid-State, but also for K-12 institutions, as well as us as adults.
Oh, sure.
Because, you know, these are all... This is not something we have here in Wisconsin Rapids. You know, there are places in Stevens Point especially that have some LEED certification, but certainly that's what we see in the future.
And Graham, that has to be exciting for Concordia to be able to have these community resources to use when you're doing the actual work or to get the community further excited.
Well, it sure is. It's actually such a unique opportunity, and we look for this and we work all over the country, and we try as much as we can to bring in the community as experts on the project and to help you know, use their knowledge of place and of new technologies in order to help promote our design and help create the best project possible. So we're very excited about that partnership and using all of the resources in the community and all of that expert knowledge to make the best project possible.
Yeah, and this is, like I said, it expands, Chelsea, the circle which you've talked about in the past on this program of the impact, the community impact of this project when you have things like this.
Absolutely. You know, right now residents are very focused on helping us inform not only what is going into the building, which is now done, but really what's going to happen in the building itself. But then this is really going to turn into a model for the community. So it's something that, you know, they're finding their voice now, but I think that going forward, it's only going to be able to continue to be a spark that turns into a fire. Not that we want the building to burn down, Carl, but that turns into a fire for the downtown and for our community as a whole.
Yeah, this can be a wonderful multiplier. That's what I'm thinking of, the economic multiplier. And Graham, I'll leave it to you folks. This kind of a project can have a huge multiplier effect economically, can it not?
Oh, completely. This is a seed project, is what we like to refer to, and essentially that's a, you know, it's a model project that can be replicated and scaled up. And so that's how we've been thinking about this project from the get-go. It took a very forward-thinking vision on behalf of Encourage and on behalf of the residents who participated in the programming aspect of the job. And now as we move forward into design and construction, when people see this thing coming to life in a physical way, it's going to be that seed that can flower into a larger tree that can extend its branches into the region.
Well, we're going to take our first break of this segment. And when we come back, we want to get some, heard Chelsea use the word lead, and we want to give folks a little education on that. But also, let's talk about further what's actually going to be going into the building. And with all of this sustainability, can it sustain, can it help sustain the overall vision that the community has come up with? We're getting an Encourage Community Foundation update here on The Morning Magazine. We're visiting with Chelsea Mazurek from Encourage here in the studio. On the phone line is Graham Hill, Senior Project Manager from Concordia, talking about the Tribune Building project. Let's review what's all going to be in this Tribune Building, this new community, this sustainable building. What's all going to be happening there? So if folks have forgotten or are catching up today.
Absolutely. So back in 2013, we began the process of determining what would go into the building. And things that the residents decided would go in are a microbrewery, a cafe brew pub, a culinary incubator space, so a culinary kitchen where people can come and create different food options that, again, has the opportunity to potentially spin into business opportunities for those folks. Makerspace, creative workshop, again, a place that people can come, create, and innovate together that, again, has some great opportunities for the economy within our community. And then we have youth spaces in that area, so a game room and a play area that the younger generation can come and spend time. So really something for everyone, art studio, and then some flexible and meeting spaces for our community to use.
And Graham, my question for you with what you've talked about, geothermal heat and solar panels and passive solar and everything else, can you do it? Well, that kind of activity, can you do it in such an environmentally sustainable way?
Definitely, and that was one of the challenges that we hit head on in the design process, is how to balance the community's desire for, you know, pretty equipment heavy spaces like a microbrewery, a culinary kitchen, brew pub, with, you know, trying to tread lightly on the earth and to make a minimal impact in terms of a carbon footprint for the overall building. So that's why we're really taking a multifaceted approach to sustainability in this project and employing several systems that are going to work in concert with each other in order to provide an optimized building envelope and energy budget for the project. And because Encourage is going to be operating this building for decades to come, we really are looking at a long-term view of an overall energy budget for the project and understanding the savings that actually are going to be realized through purchasing some of these sustainable systems up front and really seeing the benefit in the return on those investments within 10 to 20 years of initial ownership. So, you know, we feel like it's a very comprehensive approach and a design that's going to be a model for other redevelopment projects in the area.
You kind of answered my next question. That was how much can be saved. And you said you see a payback as soon as 10 years?
Yeah, and it really depends on the system. You know, something like the geothermal system, for instance, we did an energy model on the project that compared the energy performance of a geothermal HVAC system versus just what's required by code, ASHRAE, using the 90.1 ASHRAE as a baseline. And within the first year, we were already seeing savings of 40% per year on the overall energy cost of the project. So we, you know, extrapolated that data out over the course of 20 years and found that the geothermal system itself was able to be paid back within 15 years of the initial investment. Some of the other systems are still being tweaked and refined in order to make that calculation and make that determination of the overall payback period. But I would say that in general, we're looking at a 20 to 25 year payback for all of the investments and sustainable features in the project, and some of them could actually be realized a lot faster than that. In particular, photovoltaic, solar PV panels, given that the cost has dropped so dramatically in the past several years. The larger the system, frankly, the lower the cost by volume. And so we're trying to cover pretty much every square inch of the roof that we can with solar panels, in order to harvest as much energy from the sun as we can. And so it really depends on the final size of that system in order to determine the payback period. But I can tell you that the energy model that we've got going right now shows that 20 to 25 year time frame as a full payback.
And that could be big for the economic viability of the new businesses that will be created here, whether it will be the microbrewery or the restaurant, but also the incubator that's being created, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and you even think about how it will impact something like their utility costs, you know, each month. It's lesser and lesser than what it would be with a standard building.
Yeah, when you're a small business getting started, mm-hmm. or an entrepreneur, every penny hurts
exactly.
that you're spending out. But if you can save some of that, that can be huge. Let's talk about LEED, L-E-E-D, folks, for you scoring at home. Certification. What is it? Why is it so important?
Well, I can speak to that, Carl. This is Graham again. LEED is essentially just a benchmark, and there are several systems out there in place. The Living Building Challenge is another one to mention, but it's almost like the nutrition facts on your food label there. It's a way of, it's a universal language for gauging the performance of a building in terms of sustainability. And it's really a way of, you know, comparing how one project performs, you know, in this country in a certain region to, you know, other projects that are of a similar scale and in similar climatic conditions. And so it's not only a tool that helps people understand the energy performance of a building, but it's also a, you know, it's almost like getting to the medal stand when you run a marathon. It's a way of showing, that there's a reward for all this hard work that, you know, the design team and the residents have been putting into this project. It's not just, you know, it's one thing to say that you're going to run the race, but then to get up and get on the platform and receive that medal is, it really makes it much more of an accomplishment and achievement that can be shared and honored by everyone.
In terms of sustainability, we're going to be doing a lot of creative things visually as well with this building to try and reflect the history of the Tribune building, which was the home to this radio station at one time, and as well as the Daily Tribune, but also to tell the history of the riverfront and the like. How is that going to be done so that it is sustainable?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that we're looking at different art opportunities within the building to tell the story. But I think one of the things that I would note, going back to just what Graham said on LEED, that I found really interesting, and so I would note that Encourage, right alongside the community is being educated on sustainability as we go here. But one of the things that, Graham and the team, the design team, taught us was that just by using an existing building instead of building a new building, you actually receive many of those LEED certification points that you need in order to reach, because there's different, and maybe Graham can speak to this, but there's different levels, silver, gold, platinum, and just by using an existing building, we're actually already one step ahead.
Okay, explain that, Graham.
Well, there are many categories within the LEED rating system, and there are separate certification tracks for new buildings and renovation projects. But there are specific points that are given in the LEED scoring system when you preserve structural elements of the building as well as interior and exterior walls. And so we have done a whole lot of diligence in the project in trying to preserve as much of the existing structure as possible, not only for educational reasons, but also for sustainable purposes, to preserve as much of the building that we have. It's a fantastic structure. It's been it was well built 50 years ago, and what's the sense in demolishing and rebuilding something that was so well thought through and so well planned out? And so there's actually a portion of the LEED certification system that rewards design teams points for preserving interior as well as exterior walls and structural elements. So we've done the analysis of that, and this project is a perfect candidate for capturing those points.
It sounds like this building, not only from an artistic standpoint, but from a sustainability standpoint, may become a national model when it's all done.
It really should.
Well, that's what we're hoping. Yeah.
Okay.
And LEED really, it is a mark of leadership. It's green building leadership. The acronym actually stands for leadership in energy and environmental design. And so I think that's another aspect of why LEED certification is so important to this process is really, having the project be a model and a leader for other developers in the region to think green when they're thinking about construction.
And it also teaches me, at least, that this type of technology is applicable to our type of climate, not just to folks in warmer climates. I think there's a misconception sometimes that, oh, that's all great if you live in Arizona, but not here in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, a lot of people see solar panels as, it's something that, I think it's taken out of context a lot of times. But that's, as I said, a good high-performance building has a multifaceted approach, and that's the strategy we've taken here.
And you know what's interesting, Carl? One just real quick thing that I would like to share is some research that has come out that Concordia shared with us, actually. But people that are in buildings that are sustainable, that have certifications like this, actually are more productive. So you think about the entrepreneurs and the small business owners, because they have had an investment made in them by having this extra, these extra dollars spent on sustainability, they are more productive. So think about what could come out of that building with that productivity, that creativity that we've invested in.
Good point. If you missed yesterday's or last night's meeting, there's another meeting. The next Tribune Building meeting date is April 14th.
That is correct.
And what's going to be happening?
So we will continue the work around the interest groups. So people have come together in their interest areas. So if you're interested in beer, you can go to the microbrewery space. If you're interested in youth, you can go to the youth interest group. And we're really going to be continuing those conversations, thinking about how we're communicating what's going in the building, and we're going to be building really on this whole sustainability piece that was introduced at last night's meeting and now is really going to be going full speed ahead. So 5:30 to 7:30 on April 14th. More details will be available at tribunebuilding.org.
And you'll hear about it here on AM 1320 as well. What's the timetable in terms of actual construction work, Graham?
Yeah, so we are currently finishing the process of design development, which is a key phase in our process where we're starting to give everything a bit more level of detail in terms of the analysis and the design intent. And so then we have about 4 months of what used to be called blueprints, which is the construction document phase. And so that will take us into about July, and then we'll have about 6 to 8 weeks of